The time praying about what where God wants the church to go it's a huge responsibility, and I spend a lot of time praying about it. And one of the things that has kind of come out of that thinking and that praying is that we don't just want activity. Activity for the sake of it is pointless. We don't just want to look busy. Do you ever see those posters? Sometimes the boss is coming, look busy, and you can. Use that in a Christian context. Jesus is coming, look busy. There's no point in looking busy. There's no point in doing things for the sake of it. We're not after activity. We want productivity. We want to know that what we're doing is efficient. We want to know that what we're doing has a purpose and a goal. And so there's no point in just doing things for the sake of it. When we talk about vision with regard to the church, we have to understand that the original vision comes from God. God provides the vision for the church. He's the one that inspires and communicates the original vision. And I think that the vision for church is really clearly communicated in the New Testament. Can we have that Bible verse up, guys? I think it's been really clearly communicated in the Bible, by command and by example. We discover God's purposes and his tasks and his goals for the church. And as the pastor here, together with the elders, currently Ben and John, it's our responsibility as elders to teach God's word. That's our responsibility to you, and to clearly define God's will. So going forward into a new year, I want to remind us. So here we have the vision for church, the most important thing. You know, over the years, people have been asking that question of each other and asking God. Probably thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times, millions of times. God, what's the most important thing? What really matters to your heart the most out of everything? Because there's a lot to, when you first become a Christian, it can be a bit overwhelming. How many of you have been Christian for more than 5 years? Okay, less than five? There's a lot to get to know, isn't there? When you first become, it's quite overwhelming in some respects. It's quite exciting. But there's an awful lot you think, oh, how important is that? And what about this? And I've got so many questions about that. And actually, we've been asking that question, what's the most important thing, for a long time? And this leader of the people approaches God, approaches Jesus, and says, you know, what's the most important thing? The teachers of the law, an expert, if you like, he asked God that. What's the most important thing? And this is the answer. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these. And I want to remind us that we, as a church, we love God and we love people. And it's because of this verse, the most important thing that God says to each one of us is to love God and to love people. He says the very foundation of Christian discipleship is love, first for God and then for our neighbor. And if you look through the Bible, that isn't an isolated thing, is it? Right the way through, you've got lots of passages. The amazing one that's read at a lot of weddings, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul confirms it. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then also in Romans 13, Paul says this. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. Whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This morning, as we go into 2020, I just want to look at that vision, love God and love people. I want to reconnect us with what we're about. Why are we here? What is our purpose? So let's start with loving God. You know, if someone walked up to you on the street and said, do you love God? I'm totally sure that most of us would say, yep, I love God. Totally. I do love God. But unfortunately, it's much easier to say that than to do it. I think that's my own experience. I think that's all of our experience. It's easier to say than it is to do. And Jesus' command was this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. So the question isn't just, do I love God? But do I love God with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength? So that's a really lofty thing to attain. It's something that we are all not meeting. We can't, probably. Well, we can when we turn to God. But it's such a lofty thing to attain. Those four aspects of our humanity kind of describe our whole existence. Our heart, our emotions, our soul is our spirituality and our will. Our mind is our intellect, and our strength is our physical bodies. Everything that we have has got to love God. Every particle of my being. God said, the most important thing for you to do is for every single cell in your body to love God. And so Jesus is saying that our love for God must be one where we love him above all else. Totally and exclusively, not partially or mostly, or a high priority, but with everything. You know, sometimes we get, because we're surrounded in a culture that doesn't know truth, we get really strange ideas about things. There was once a guy who memorized some romantic poetry for his wife to show how much he loved her. And so after dinner, he recited this romantic poetry and he told her how many high a mountain he would climb to get to her. And he would swim across wide oceans and he would cross deserts in the burning heat of day just to be with her for a minute. And after listening to her and going on for some time about this wonderful romantic love he had, she said, but will you do the dishes for me? See, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. In other words, God doesn't just want us to love him with a warm, fuzzy heart. He doesn't want us to have half an hour of worship and to be filled with a warm, fuzzy feeling. And that's expressing our love for God. He wants that. That's what happens when you watch too many Disney films, by the way. Sorry, Hope. You haven't got a subscription to that new Disney channel yet, have you? I'm surprised about it. Love for God is much more down to earth and practical than that. How many of you have been married for more than 5 years? So we're in agreement about the nature of love then, already, aren't we? It's not a Disney thing. Loving God is an act of will where we submit ourselves to God exclusively, totally, and practically in obedience to his will. Now, we might say that we love God, but if we live lives that continue to disobey God's commands, our actions say something different. If we walk past things that need doing and think somebody else will do it, our actions are speaking for us, not our words. If we want someone else to tithe so that the church can pay its bills, that isn't an action of love. And this isn't meeting the high criteria that Jesus has called us to. When we prioritize other things, we're saying that we love ourselves more than God, and God is a jealous God. He wants all of you for a reason. It's because it's the best plan he has for you. It's because you will feel the most fulfilled and the most happiest and the most replete, the most successful, the most prosperous, the most abundantly filled life when you give everything to God. Because God is no man's debtor, and what you hand over to him, he gives back to you 100-fold. I'm really thrilled and encouraged by the generosity of people, not even Christians, from some of the food that's been donated to Food Bank. And I really feel there was kind of a change in the atmosphere, not in a church or spiritual sense. I mean, outside of the church, there was a change in the spiritual atmosphere of the people around here. Generosity broke out. And it's got to come from God. Everything good comes from God. Generosity broke out in people's, some of them were Christians, some of them weren't Christians. But generosity broke out in Acox Green. And I think God is doing a new thing. And I want to say, if we pursue that, it involves sacrifice. It involves loving God with all of our hearts. It's when we keep a little bit back for ourselves that we limit God's ability to work in our lives. Whatever we give to God, He will give back. It means, I want to have a little bit of a look. When we talk about the four purposes of church, which I've done a few times over the last 12 months, we're going to come back to this a few times this year. The four purposes of church: community, worship, discipleship, and mission. The reasons why we exist. If we put this vision, which should be behind me, if we put this vision into those four purposes, we are operating as a church strategically, efficiently. We're not just doing stuff because it's activity. We're doing stuff because it's productive. We're doing stuff that matters. So what would it look like if God's love led you to prioritize building community this year? Part of why we exist as a church is to build community. And it's not just for the pastor to build it, or the elders to build it, or the ministry leaders to build community. Because you can't, can you? By its very definition, community is built by the people in the community. Every single person plays an equal part in building community. Loving God also means pursuing worship wholeheartedly. Who wakes up feeling rotten sometimes, has a quiet time, and goes out on top of the world? It's not every day, not every morning it happens, but it happens often enough, doesn't it? When we pursue God, we find answers. When we pursue God, we find fulfillment. Now, we're all different people at different seasons in our life, so we have to apply this word differently to each one of our lives. For some of you, it might mean, well, how can I increase my connection with God in worship? For some of you, it might mean arriving on time to the service. For some of you, it might mean volunteering, having a chat with Anya, seeing if you can volunteer to be in the worship team. I'm not making any promises about that, because if I did that, she would say no. I'd have to find another team. So you do have to have skills as well. But just say yes to God. Find some way in which to serve Him. Not to get jobs done. Not interested in getting jobs done. I'm interested in God blessing you through your service. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, a good church values and is purposeful about its discipleship. It's a strong pillar of what church is all about. So start to pray and ask yourself, take this message home with you and start to pray. What is my part to play in the discipleship of this church? Am I a spectator? Am I a consumer of the programs that are run? Because discipleship isn't meant to be a program. Discipleship isn't like that at all. Discipleship is one-on-one, helping each other and pointing one another towards God, helping us to develop that intimacy, helping each one of us. And it's always done in twos and threes best, actually, much to the annoyance of pastors and leaders who like programs because it's easier. But actually, discipleship is something that we've all got to embrace. And I'm asking you, as part of the vision, to run with this part of the vision for church. We want to be a church that is strong in discipleship, teaching the word of God. What can change lives? What can transform someone's existence. It's only the word of God. It's only the presence of God that can do that. We've got to be the ones carrying that message. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now I know you could be doing all kinds of other things. Maybe you could show people the love of God operating in you by being part of a team. And we'll be running an alpha course in a few weeks. This is the official announcement, by the way. I've kind of haven't done the notices yet, so we'll put it into the message. There's leaflets at the back. Alpha course running from Tuesday evenings, starting on the 28th of January. So we've got a few weeks to think about that. If you know somebody that wants to come on an alpha course that needs to be discipled, if you've been a Christian for a while, you're a bit rusty, or you know somebody that's just become a Christian, or even might just be interested in asking questions, I want to encourage you to take one of those leaflets with you. I want to help you and equip you as a church by offering discipleship opportunities. Alpha's a great start in a journey of discipleship and learning how to love God with all your mind, your heart, and your soul, and your strength. It might be that you've done it more than once. But it needs a team of us. You see, I can't teach and cook and manage the evening and set up and clean up at the same time. However much you want to pay me, I can't do it all. So we need a team to run an alpha course. Now, I've announced this alpha course before I've put a team together. There's one or two people that I've spoken to, but I haven't got a team yet. But I'm doing this in faith. I'm taking a step of faith and announcing that I want to run an alpha course. I don't know if we can, but I'm believing that we can. And I'm believing that God will do mighty things through it. Now, I know you could be doing other things. You might not value your help or think you can do much. You might think someone else can do it, or it's not your thing, or you're too busy, or you can't prioritize it. But let me remind you of the way that Jesus put it. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And so this isn't me trying to fill a team. This is me telling you that if you want 2020 to be a year in which God moves, where we see the church move forward, start being obedient. Start saying yes to God. Now, all of us are in different seasons of life. We've all got limitations on what we can do, but God is expecting all of you, every aspect, all of what you can do. Don't pick one. Maybe you can't do 7 weeks of Alpha, but you might be able to do three. Maybe you don't want to lead a small group, but you can come to clear up afterwards. Maybe you can't cook every week, but you could cook for 2 weeks. Maybe you can come and pray with people. Maybe you could get the shopping beforehand. There's all kinds of little ways in which we can work as a team. It gives opportunity for fellowship, and it's moving forward the agenda of God in this place. Now, it occurred to me before Christmas as I was praying that there's no major Elim church in southeast Birmingham. Right? There's BCC in town, and there's Renewal down the road, and there's King Standing, a big Elim church, and there's CLC on the Bristol Road. But imagine if this place was the big Elim church in southeast Birmingham in 10 years' time. Imagine if we had a new building. Now, that's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how good the pastor is. It's not going to happen just because you've got a good pastor. You could have Billy Graham and he wouldn't be able to do it on his own. One of the amazing things, if you have a look at the Billy Graham Crusades of the 80s, was the amount of work that was put in by other people beforehand and other churches. The amount of organization and meetings and people just like you who would say, I'll do a little bit. I'll do my bit towards that. Our church will get two coaches and fill them and bring the people. And when they give their lives to Jesus, because Billy Graham is an amazing preacher, when they come back, we'll disciple them. We'll pray for them and answer their difficult questions. And we'll walk with them through this first few months of becoming a Christian. And the success, the revival that happened because of Billy Graham's ministry, of course Billy Graham was anointed. by the Holy Spirit, but he was also backed up by a wonderful team of Christians. Many of you would have been involved, some of you older guys, quite heavily involved, I imagine. What an amazing time. That's what can happen when we come behind a vision and we push forward for what God wants. 10 or 15 years' time, we could be the big Elim church in southeast Birmingham. Now, none of these things in to do with Alpha or whatever else, just look for things. None of these things require particular skills that you haven't got. There's no point asking somebody to do something that they can't, unless God's asking direct, and then he's going to equip you and enable you to do it. What it does require is just a commitment to love God wholeheartedly with every single bit of you. And to be reliable and faithful. If you can be involved, come and see me after the service. I say that in notices all the time. Not very often people do. Better to have one-on-one conversations with people, if I'm honest. But I'm having a one-on-one conversation with every single one of you in the room now. Come and see me if you want to be part of Alpha on a Tuesday evening. I'll find something for you to do just so you turn up. Just so that we get together and we share a bit of fellowship. We have opportunity to find out what's happened in the week. We build community. Let me tell you about one main principle that will help you to love people better. We've talked about loving God. Let's move on to loving people. Let me be clear on this. I think there are two types of churches. There are friendly churches and there are churches that think they're friendly. I'm not going to say how many is in each category. Loving people. In 2020, we could be a church that tells itself that we love people, but doesn't really engage with new people, doesn't have a big active social group outside of Sundays. Or we can actually make an effort to love people by practically and proactively seeking out fellowship and doing life together. That's loving people. And one main principle that will help you to love people better, and then we're going to discuss a couple of practical ways. Many of you will have heard, and this is where my mind went when I was preparing this message. My mind went to the golden rule. Does everyone know the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's known kind of even outside Christian circles as the golden rule. Jesus said of himself, but I don't want to talk about the golden rule this morning. I want to talk about the Jesus rule instead. Jesus said, treat others as you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. Well, the Jesus rule is similar, to treat people as if they're Jesus. How much difference would that make to the way I operate and the way that you guys operate on a week if you were actually approaching people as if they were Jesus? Can you imagine your reaction to people, if you approach them as if they were Jesus, to your husband or your wife or your kids or your work colleagues or your neighbours or the people that come into food banks thinking of dope and drunk. Treating them as if they were Jesus. What do you think would change if we did that? How much of an impact would that have on our own lives and the church? I think it would be absolutely revolutionary. I think it would be so radical that we wouldn't know what hit us if we treated the people that we met as if they were Jesus. Now, this isn't just one of my ideas. This is in the Bible. Jesus says, you know, people, when you come across people in need and you meet those needs, you're meeting my needs. It's as if you're meeting Jesus. He's the person with the need. It's a real challenge for all of us because we're all constrained by the things that constrain us, the time limits, the money and all the other things. There's a direct connection, I think, between serving the people around us and serving Jesus. He made the connection. And I think all of us would jump at the chance to serve Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus walked in? Be like, oh, come and have this best seat. Jesus has got a really good view. We don't really have restricted views in this place. It's too small yet. But, oh, can I get you a cup of tea, Jesus? Come and meet all the team, Jesus. Let me show you the cabins, Jesus. we just treat Jesus differently to the way we would treat other people. I'm suggesting one of the things we do is, in terms of actioning our vision to love people is to treat people as Jesus. So the fourth purpose of church after community and worship and discipleship is mission. I think we as a church have got a real story to share, the food in there. I think that's an amazing story this Christmas. It's the thing that's really thrilled my heart. It's difficult to estimate how much food, but I've just plucked a figure out of the air. I'm going with £3,000 worth. It's a lot of food. It's a huge amount of food. Mainly from people who aren't Christians. Imagine the influence that this church is building in this community. If we can get people to respond like that. Imagine what people are saying and thinking about this church out there. If people are prepared to do that. Not by being holier than thou, or thinking we're better than them, or saying they've got to be a particular way and they've got to be a particular type of person before they can come into church. Haven't done any of that. We have a connection and an influence in this community that many churches would give their right arms for. Because we're demonstrating the love of God to people who sometimes don't deserve it. People like me and people like you. When God found us, we didn't deserve God to save us and set us free and to give us a new life and restore all the things that the enemy had broken and taken away. But he did, and he wants to do that with everyone out there. We have a mission as a church to reach that community and to influence it. And I think one of the best things that happened over Christmas was the way that the food bank team operated. I want to say, for all of you that are here, you know who you are. I want to say a really big, genuine thank you for all the extra hours, for all the extra pressure, for staying on and doing the food, for dealing with people after hours, for taking the collections, for driving places. We had a great time, but we couldn't have done it without you guys. And I want to encourage you as a church, get involved. If you can't volunteer on a Tuesday or a Friday morning, think of another time you can. Perhaps you can collect stuff for us of an evening. Perhaps you can be praying for us and then letting the food bank team know that you're praying for us to encourage us. They dealt with all kinds of issues and problems, and they served the people who came in here as if they were Jesus. Imagine if more than 5 or 6 people were doing that. Imagine the impact. If 5 or 6 people doing that can have that kind of impact, imagine what 50 or 60 people or 150 people doing that could have. Imagine what God could do. That gets me excited. It gets me excited for the future. I hope and pray that anyone that comes to Acock Green Christian Centre will clearly see that we are a people who are committed to loving God and to loving people. That means all people. It means from all kinds of educational backgrounds, despite their financial strength, the colour of their skin, where they're from. It just means loving people. Going into 2020, I want you to ask yourselves, what would it look like if I decided, whatever anybody else is going to do this year, I am going to love God wholeheartedly. Whatever anybody else does, whatever situation I'm in, whatever my circumstances or limitations in terms of time or finances or mood or mental health, whatever else is going to stop me, I am going to pursue this vision of loving God wholeheartedly. And not just with words. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to serve him. Would meeting with my church family midweek make a difference? What would happen if I stopped prioritizing work over fellowship and serving God? What would happen if I stopped If I started tithing and giving generously instead of expecting others to do that to pay the bills? What would happen if I grabbed this year, 2020, and wanted it filled with the purpose for which God has called me? Would it be less pedestrian and less boring? Would I be more satisfied with the outcome of 2020 than I am with 2019? See, I think if you answer those questions positive, the answer is bound to be yes. As we go forward in the next few weeks, I just want to unpack some of the things that God's put on my heart about the vision for going forward. I believe it's God's given. I believe that God is speaking to me. I don't think some of the things that he's saying to me are going to be easy, but I think they're going to be possible. And they're exciting. And I believe that God will equip us to become one of the biggest Elim churches if we get behind a vision and we move forward wholeheartedly loving God. But it starts with every single person sat here this morning coming together in agreement around a simple vision that's the greatest commandment. It's not the greatest suggestion. It's the greatest commandment. And that's a real challenge to start us off. Love God and love people. I want you to go home and I want you to pray about the message today. I want you to pray what God has spoken to you about. Because I know the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you as I've been speaking. This message he's given me to deliver to the church on the first Sunday of the new decade. Is this year going to be different from next? Don't be apathetic and miss the future that God's got for you and for us. You're part of the reason God wants to grow and prosper this church. It's no accident that you're here. We come for a multitude of reasons, but God knows why you're here. And he knows the way in which you can serve and in which way you can love wholeheartedly. And you are part of the reason that God wants to grow and prosper this church. I believe that. You're part of the team. Just going to finish off by saying that if you want to be part of the Alpha team, come and see me after the service, please. Be a great way to spend Tuesday evening. Fellowship, a new sense of purpose. And I'm going to finish with a quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you don't mind. It's not one of the film ones, don't worry. I'll be back. No, it's not that one. If you want to turn, this is what he says. He says, if you want to turn a vision into reality, you have to give 100% and never stop believing in your dream. If you want to turn a vision into reality, you have to give 100% and never stop believing in your dream. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that each one of us, myself included, would see clearly this vision that you're laying upon our hearts for a new year and a new decade. I'm praying, Lord, that each one of us would have personal ownership of that mission. And I pray, Lord, that in the end, we will successfully accomplish all that you have called us to do in this place. Lord, help us to love God and to love people with everything that we are. May every cell in our bodies be pointed towards that great purpose for which you've called us. And may we see the fruit of that obedience, of that commitment, of that faithfulness. May it indeed be a time of harvest. Lord, we ask you to move upon us this year, this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.